Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
I want to preface this by saying, I've never been a superstitious person. I grew up next to the ocean, where it's particularly unimportant. But anyone who grew up in a seaside town can attest to the amount of insane things your brother's girlfriend's dad once saw while out on his boat. I had a best friend in high school who used to swear on his life that once when he was 9, he and his entire family had seen some sort of shapeless blob slowly rise until the shadow of it beneath the water far outsized their small fishing vessel. I used to laugh in his face at that story, along with the hundreds of others I've heard over the years of encounters with various scary ocean monster-based anomalies. After today, I don't feel like laughing anymore. It started when my brother called me this morning. I remember thinking how glad I was that it was the same day my unemployment hit, and my first thought when my phone aroused me was, "Yes, money," followed immediately by, "Damn, Dempsey's called me," which means only one thing. "Hey Rip, you ready to do the damn thing?" No, never, ever was ready to do the damn thing. The damn thing being fishing, which I absolutely despise. Dempsey, my older brother of barely 2 years, definitely has always known this about me. Unfortunately, he's one of those people who is endlessly positive. "Lose your job due to massive layoffs? Don't worry, Rip, you wanted to look for something better anyway. I can help." "Marriage crumbles into shambles? Mom, you and Dad are great people. You will both only be better separate. I know you would never make any choice you didn't think was best." "Your favorite character dies on a TV show? Don't worry, we can always watch it over once we finish and enjoy them all over again." You get the idea. Dempsey is one of those people who makes you feel bad just by being himself. As a categorically miserable person, it has always made me want to vomit. I love my brother, but the exact things everyone loves about Dempsey I find annoying. Women love his sandy blonde, somehow perfectly disheveled hair, forest green eyes and boyish grin. Women and men alike love his athletic talent and charismatic personality. Then the guy has a nerve to become a semi-professional surfer. A surfer! He's a giant parody of himself and doesn't even realize it. "Ripley?" I jerked involuntarily at the sound of his voice in my ear. I'd apparently fallen asleep, contemplating the ways I could get out of fishing with him. "I'm here. Are we taking Dad's boat?" I didn't want to go in any boat, but at least Dad's boat is big and relatively comfortable. Don't bother to comment and ask me what kind. As someone with no interest in boating outside of what my family has roped me into over the years, I couldn't tell you. It's big, it's comfortable. My dad likes the deep sea fish, so he bought the boat. I can say it's fairly expensive, as it not only costs what he paid for the boat, but also the alimony he pays my mom after she filed for divorce, catching him on it with a lady of the evening. Yes, in case you're curious, Dempsey really did tell my mom my dad was a great person, the same day she had found out he had been sleeping around on her. I've always said when God called to line up for brains, Dempsey got into the looks line again by mistake. "Ripley, are you coming out on Dad's boat with me to fish for marlin or not? Don't put me off again. You promised me last week that you would definitely come this time." I had fallen asleep again. "Fine, pick me up in 20 minutes. So he did. The ride there was uneventful. I sat, arms crossed, staring out the window, clearly sulking after being morally guilted into coming along on this super fun sibling day. Not my words, Dempsey literally labelled the day as such as soon as I got into his diesel Duramax truck. My sour mood had not deterred my brother, who happily sang country along with the radio and drove so fast that I was convinced if Dad saw us, he would call the police and report the boat we were towing stolen. Dempsey's bronzed, slightly sun-freckled hand suddenly turned down Dave Allen Coe's, "Who Never Even Called Me By My Name." "I've been thinking about David," It felt like a dagger into my heart. Twisting tight in the silence, we let hang for a few moments. I knew he was being a good brother. A good brother mentions how your dead fiancé has been on his mind, especially coming up on the 3-year anniversary of his death. To let you know that person you love so much, more than you ever thought you could love a person, wasn't forgotten to him. Dempsey was only being a good brother, and I hated him for it. I think about David every single day, I spat back at him, regretting it almost immediately. He was only trying to be nice, typical of his usual MO. But it was too late. I had backed myself into a dark little corner and I refused to come back out. Every single day. Yes, Ripley, double down, I remember thinking sarcastically to myself. Dempsey acted like he hadn't even heard the venom in my tone and continued. That was his superpower, ignoring my venom. David loved to come deep sea fishing with me. The knife twisted again, almost making it hard to breathe. My brother did miss David, with his dark hair and smiling blue eyes reflecting the ocean when he would laugh at Dempsey's stupid jokes. I could hear it in his voice and see it in the tight way he gripped the wheel of the truck. I didn't know what to say to that, because they had loved it. Both of them, to a degree that almost made me jealous. I twisted the simple diamond ring on my finger. I hadn't been able to bring myself to get rid of it, or even remove it. We rode the rest of the way to the pier in silence. Dempsey never even bothered to turn the radio back up. Dempsey had to get a man at the pier to help him back the boat in and get it unhitched or whatever. It was something he and Dad normally did while me and Mom watched. So, after two attempts by me to help him back it in straight, he laughed good-naturedly and asked the man unloading his own boat if he would help. I could see both of them having a good laugh at me as they worked together while I fumed. Shortly after Dempsey helped me into the boat, we were off and I held my sunglasses onto my face and another hand tied to a support bar as he opened the boat up. I wanted to ask him what his hurry was, but the wind was loud, and after a while, I judged by the look on his face that he was simply enjoying the feeling of the boat slicing through the water as it took us further and further from the pier where we started. After what felt like forever, he pulled back on the throttle and brought our vessel to a crawl. I glanced around, and there was nothing. Open water as far as I could see in every direction. I had been distracted by not trying to feel nauseated for a portion of our journey and had my eyes closed to try and combat it. I was shocked he had brought us out so far. Usually we went far, but the pier would still be visible, albeit very small, in the distance. "You trying to catch a sea monster?" I asked cynically to the back of Dempsey's head, and felt awkward when he didn't respond right away with something typical of him. "You would be no help if I was catching a sea monster. You probably wouldn't even touch it." Something lame along those lines. When he turned to face me, his face was eerily calm and yet hyper-aware at the same time. I'd never seen him look that way. "Demps, what is it?" "David and I used to come here." The dagger was back, the tip of it pressed against the wall of my heart, primed and ready. The peculiar expression on his face kept me grounded in the strangeness of the moment. "Okay." My voice was smaller than I wanted it to be, but I'd never seen my brother act so mysterious. He always said what was on his mind. Every real job he ever had described him in references as honest to a fault. It was just for fun, at first. His voice sounded more normal than his face looked, and somehow that made me even more uneasy. "David told me about a book his grandfather had let him read. It was just an old book full of sailors' tales." David's grandfather had been a sailor and professional fisherman for many years, so this far into Dempsey's weird account, I was following him. The book made sense. He told me one of the stories in there was instructions on how to catch a mermaid. So much for this mess making sense. I opened my mouth to interrupt him, complain about being dragged out this close to dark, to hear about some damn story that David had told him about. He raised a hand to silence me, which normally would have done bugger all, but something about the callous way he did it had the exact reaction he wanted, and I closed my mouth, officially creeped all the way out. I've been thinking about it a lot since David died, and I think I've figured out the reason it never worked for us. Worked for you? You mean you guys are out trying to catch... It was the bait. It never had any power. I was creeped into silence again at this point. What did the story say, Dempsey? My small voice was gone, and instead, I remember sounding cold and empty when I asked him this. Maybe out of aggravation over a lack of answers, maybe out of disbelief. They loved trinkets. Okay, so apparently, I was going to get a synopsis of the story. Fine by me. All kinds, but it's not like what you see in The Little Mermaid, you know. My face must have been confirmation that I indeed did not know, because we were talking about damn mermaids. They love trinkets that have been imbued. Pain and suffering imbues energy into objects, so we figured pawn store jewelry might work. People are usually upset pawning grandma's heirlooms to pay their rent, right? I mean, you would figure that would leave some sort of bad juju on it. I still wasn't following him. So, you and David used to come out here every single month to fish for mermaids? That's what you expect me to believe? But watching you carry that ring around after David died, the way you cherish it so much, like it's him. I see you touch it when you feel upset, almost like it makes you closer to him. That's what made me realize that loving energy is probably so much stronger. I feel like I was slowly being dipped into ice-cold water, starting at my feet. The realization of what was going on dawned on me. Dempsey, there's no damn way... Then, it went dark. When I opened my eyes again, my entire body felt tight, like I had run a very long distance in a very short time. There was a throbbing pain right around the area of my left hip. You tased me? I could barely talk. My mouth felt like it didn't want to work correctly, and I could tell my words were slurred. That was mostly because my face was still pressed against the boat deck. It tasted like salt. Dempsey had his back to me, standing at the edge of the boat. I could tell he was holding a very large fishing pole, mostly because of the angle of his body. I had to rip. You had to? Slowly, I was able to force myself up off the deck to a sitting position. It was still daylight, though not by much, so I couldn't have been out for long. I had a feeling a good majority of the pain I was in was from dropping to the deck the way I had. My head felt like it had been hit with a hammer, and when I reached up, I could only feel my thick, auburn hair sticking out like mad after the boat's ride and faceplant. No blood, thank goodness. Yes, I had to. You never would have given me the ring. You're damn right I would never have given you the ring. I was managing to get to my feet, pulling on one of the mounted boat chairs to assist me. To do what? Tie it to a line and cast it out, hoping to catch a goddamn mermaid? What the hell is wrong with you, Dempsey? You don't understand. Insanity. Insanity? You're right I don't understand insanity, because this is insane. You can't hear it, Ripley. For the first time since I'd regained consciousness, he glanced back over his shoulder at me, and I was horrified to find he looked stricken. His handsome face drawn with sorrow and longing, his boyish hair limp on his forehead, lifeless, just like his eyes. I took a step back, frightened of this hollow thing that almost looked like my brother. The small voice was back. Hear what? He didn't answer. His face whipping back around as the line suddenly started to hiss away, the reel spinning rapidly. I knew it would work. If I hadn't stumbled over closer to the edge of the boat, I wouldn't have even heard this. It seemed like something he was saying to himself. Dempsey grabbed the spinning reel and stopped it dead, causing the line to zing as it became tight and popped up out of the water. Immediately, I could tell what was on the other end of the line was strong, as Dempsey almost stumbled and the muscles in his arms bulged under the effort. His face was a solid rock of concentration. It seemed like a scene that should be happening against a raging storm, with rain dropping in buckets as he tried to wrangle whatever he had captured into the boat for reasons I can't begin to tell you. But the water was soft and smooth. Ocean birds called in the distance, and the slowly descending sun caused watercress to burn like tiny crescent suns of their own. It was beautiful, and Dempsey's sounds of exertion echoed across the water. It took a very short amount of time before I realized not only could he not do it without my help, but whatever he was trying to reel in was going to pull him off the side of the boat, and Dempsey was going to let it. "Demps, let go!" I sounded to myself how I did at 5 when Dempsey grabbed the collar of a big dog trying to get to our cat, and it dragged him all around the yard for 2 minutes before Mum noticed. I'd wanted to yell then, too. "Dempsey, let go! Help me!" he roared back, the force of his conviction causing me to run over and grab him around the waist, despite my better judgment. Better judgment would have been to demand he release the rod before I helped him, but hindsight is 20/20. It felt like trying to help a tree. His weight was so solid in my clenched arms, I wasn't sure if I was even helping. In tandem, we both stepped back a few times, losing a few inches of ground every so often to whatever furious thing he had managed to snag. Then, in a loud splash, it was over. When I look back now, I'm almost 100% positive that she launched herself into the boat intentionally, because there was no way the two of us could ever have reeled her up. With no warning, the tension on the line was gone when she burst from the water and over the safety rails on the boat. She landed next to us with a disgusting, wet plop as we fell over. Dempsey's full 180 pounds fell on top of me, and for 2 seconds I couldn't breathe. The 2 seconds of breathlessness dragged into what seemed to be an eternity as I turned my face to see the creature laying on the deck with us. My brother had been right. It wasn't like the Little Mermaid. Her body was a listless grey-green, rubbery. She had no scales, and at first glance, I almost thought she was a horribly disfigured dolphin, until I saw that she clearly had arms, hands, a head, and a face, if you could call it a face. Her eyes were small and black, again reminding me of a dolphin, her forehead bulbous and vastly oversized, with no hair to distract from how oddly shaped her head was. No lips could be seen, so nothing concealed a mouth full of double-rowed serrated teeth. I only knew she was female because her chest had a strangely feminine shape. I know she wasn't dead because she pushed herself up onto her arms, the most human-looking thing she possessed, and looked directly at me. A look that can only be described as primal hatred. I was frozen, my entire body comprised of a solid block of ice. Dempsey had barely been able to dislodge his body off the top of mine in the time it took me to take in the mermaid and feel the full force of her gaze. This is what the single antelope feels, knowing lionesses have cut it off from its herd. My heart felt like a drum, pounding out a signal that only she could understand. I felt disgusted by her, her rubbery flesh making a squeaking sound as she dragged herself half an arm's distance towards me. But at the same time, there was something about her, something alluring. "She's beautiful." Dempsey's voice cracked through my ice form like a whip, and I felt it dissolve. Once I had half a second to collect myself, I realized it wasn't because he had spoken, but because her face had cut towards him with unnatural speed once he spoke. Her expression changed, and I could see Dempsey's body relaxed as her face honed in on him. He had climbed off me now, and seemed like he would reach the water. "Dempsey, don't." Tiny voice reigned supreme. "Dempsey, don't you hear it, Ripley?" He continued to reach, his face entranced. I still don't know why I didn't grab him, stop him. I was so horrified by what was happening in front of me that it was like being outside of my body, watching it happening, screaming at myself to do something, screaming at myself to make my limbs work, make my hands grab him and stop him. "I don't hear anything," was all I managed to squeak out. I can only describe what happened next as, have you ever seen an alligator attack on a nature movie? The unbelievable way they burst out of the water and grab their prey? the supernatural speed they seem to be able to execute, that moment when their dinner is just close enough to execute a killing strike. That was what it was like. It was like watching an alligator attack my brother with more speed and strength than I could have ever imagined. She lunged at him with such force that it propelled her off the deck and straight into his chest, knocking him back over on top of me. The sounds she made while razor-sharp teeth and claws made short work of my handsome brother's dashing looks were unlike anything I think any person has ever heard, unlike a human or an animal. I'd never gotten up, and when she launched herself into him, he was propelled back off me, but a length of her body pinned me down as she ravished him. But more horrifying than any of the sounds she made, and then the feeling of her body writhing on top of me as she killed him, was the sound Dempsey made. He managed to say it 3 times before she had completely dismantled his face and throat, and he made no more sounds. "She's beautiful." I never even realized Dad kept a laptop on the boat. I found it on accident, actually, trying to find the rudimentary medkit that I faintly remembered being on the boat somewhere. I don't even know why I bothered looking for the kit. I knew Dempsey was dead before she had slithered off the top of him, over the railing and back into the sea. I knew. I couldn't find the kit, but I found Dad's laptop, and my phone has a local hotspot. I have great service here, actually. I'm stunned. I almost called the police, but what do I tell them? That my brother captured a damn mermaid and she ate his face and ripped out his throat before jumping back into the ocean? They will never believe that. I'm soaked in his blood from trying to help him. You can all imagine what this looks like. What do you guys think I should do?